This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The lights are out.
Hurry, get to the lights, go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7, The Game.
Curry off the pick by Looney. Backs up. They show double team. Pass to Looney to Draymond. Back to Curry for three. Off the rim. Rebound. Loose battle. Tip to Looney, who shoveled it up and in. Looney just threw it up in traffic and it went in. Warriors lead by two. It's 102-100.
A prayer was answered.
I can't believe Jim did that. A prayer answered. Nonsense. Kevon Looney is great. It's the greatness of Kevon Looney. That's what that was.
The greatness of the Raiders.
Of Kevon Looney. Sorry. Loondog. The offensive drivers of tonight's win. Kevon Looney and Draymond Green. Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the bizarro world. It was ugly out there tonight. And maybe that's the thing that should most indicate the ugliness. Right? I mean, if your offensive engines are Draymond Green and Kevon Looney, that was probably an ugly basketball game. Stephen Curry, plus 17 in his 35 minutes, despite shooting just 8 for 20 from the field, 5 of 15 from 3. He was awesome tonight. Harassed constantly. Missed a couple open ones. He's obviously in a shooting slump, you know, by his standards. But what Draymond and Looney in particular was able to do tonight, they don't win that game without Kevon Looney. And I don't know that we've said that a lot. 14 points, 8 boards, 3 assists, 7 for 10 from the field. And Kevon Looney was driving to the rim from great distances, for at least great distances for Looney over the course of the game tonight. So credit to him. And credit to Draymond. You know, he was in a little bit of foul trouble. And I thought when he was off the floor, there were some energy issues. Except for the moments where Kuminga was on the floor. And we'll talk about Jonathan Kuminga a little further down the road in this show. Because once again, I think he proved he's ready to give you some minutes now. Everything's not great. Not a good free throw shooter. Just don't shoot threes, kid. Just not yet. I understand you're going down to the G League, you're draining threes, everything's working, you're getting wide open threes here, but just don't take them. Just walk right out of that open three and attack the basket, because when he does that, he's dangerous. And especially if he starts hitting even just 70% of his free throws. The defense is helpful, and they needed some injections of energy at various points tonight. They looked like a West Coast team playing earlier than usual. Draymond came out of the gates fired up, but it was kind of a hangdog performance from a lot of the squad tonight. Credit to Andrew Wiggins for pulling it together. Credit to Looney and Draymond for what they did. But really, they just kind of squeaked one out today. As far as Steph Curry goes, first of all, important to remind you, with 5 threes tonight, 5 more threes. He is just 1 away from tying, 2 away from passing Ray Allen as the most three-makingest dude in the history of the NBA. And while we're doing that, might as well be time for the Steph Curry 3-point update, brought to you by Masterclass. Steph has made 140 threes this season. It's just a lot of threes in 25 games, folks. That's how many, maybe 26 now. It's an awful lot of 3-point shots made by Stephen Curry, more than 5 a game. Masterclass lets you learn from over 100 world-class instructors anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Get 15% off your annual membership at masterclass.com/the game. That's masterclass.com/the game. Speaking of Steph Curry, 888-957-9570 is our phone number. Do you think it's all about the record? 7 turnovers and a, 40% shooting night with 33 from three-point range. And it's, I don't know if extended slump is fair, but it's kind of an extended slump. Last 10, just 23.5 a game, shooting 38% from the field and from three-point range. I mean, look, most people would kill for 38 from three-point range, but that's, Steph is not most people. He's supposed to be 43 to 45, and that's where he usually is, and that's where he will be, don't worry. But I do wonder, there's a lot of talk about, well, this is it's the record, he's pressing for the record. And I'm not going to say that's not it. It certainly could be it. The reality is there's a lot of talk about it. There's no way he's not thinking about it. And it might be affecting his shot to some degree. I do have to say, though, I don't really buy that he's shooting a lot of shots he wouldn't normally shoot. I don't really buy that he's taking extra threes. I didn't see him forcing three-point shots tonight, or even in Philly. Maybe a couple early on against Portland just to see if he could get rolling and get the, single game record. But once he wasn't hot, he didn't even really do it then either. The reality of Warriors basketball is Stephen Curry runs around and takes crazy three-pointers, And I don't really think that he's been taking crazier three-pointers over the last week than he did before that. Not really. But to a man, everyone on this team has mentioned the record and how they'd just as soon put it behind them. Steve Kerr said it. Draymond Green, after the game tonight, was asked about it and said, I'd like to just get it over. And look, it will be over tomorrow. I promise. We could put all the record stuff behind us tomorrow. I'm prepared to issue a guarantee that Stephen Curry will hit 2 threes at Madison Square Garden tomorrow and put this record behind us. Behind us all. Guaranteed.
Ridiculous!
No, it's perfectly reasonable to say that. And that's tomorrow. And then we don't have to worry about it anymore. Great. And also he'll be the record holder, which is great and well-deserved. And maybe that is part of it, but I honestly just think it's kind of just a, Steph has a slump most years. And I haven't had a chance to do the deep research, but I would guess we could find stretches like this one. Starting with that Phoenix game is really where things got ugly. So it's the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. The last 7 games in particular, he had that one bad game in Toronto earlier, but that was more of an isolated incident. This stretch of not being great, other than the one game against Orlando, 6 of the last 7 games, he's been, 42% or lower from the field and 35 or lower from three-point range. That's a slump for Steph Curry. But I don't think it's anything to worry about. I mean, I think this is sort of a yearly slump. I expect him to break out of it, whether that's tomorrow in New York or maybe later this week. And then when he does break out of it, it's probably going to be a nice extended hot stretch for everybody. But do you think it's the record? I mean, do you think it's the record preying on his mind? Or is it just, coincidentally, he's not shooting it great right now? 888-957-9570 is our phone number. That or any other thoughts you want to share with us, you can text or call 888-957-9570. 707 texter says I'm echoing. I don't know what's going on with that, bro. I think it might be your stuff, not my stuff. But it could be our stuff. Hey, if anyone else hears me echoing, let me know. In the meantime, Robin in San Francisco. What's going on, Robin?
Hi, Koski. I'm not feeling a little good. So if I sound a little like I'm straining, I apologize.
No worries.
You hear me?
Yeah, we hear you great.
Okay. No, you're not echoing. So I have a, I don't know what you call it, a hot take or
okay.
theory or speculation. I always hate to make generalizations. But I don't know if it was you I spoke with or JD. When I stated a while ago, see, to me, Curry hasn't, we're a little spoiled. He hasn't been really shooting since really the beginning of the season like we've seen him in the past, if you really want to look at it, okay? And so I had said to either you or JD, could it be because he's exerting so much energy on defense like we've never seen him do before that he could be exhausting himself on both ends, you know what I mean, offensively?
Yeah.
Because what amazes me, what really throws me off are the air balls.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with your legs, right, and your timing. And so, we haven't seen Curry exert so much energy before on defense like he is now. And so, you know, his game is evolving, even though we think he's not. So I don't think it's so much the record. Here's my second theory on that. I think it's a great marketing tool for the NBA to beat to death because there's so mediocrity in the NBA, and Curry and the Warriors are keeping the NBA afloat in terms of showmanship. And I think that it's many of us projecting that it's him. We're projecting our thoughts on
right.
him and seeing it in his game that he's forcing it.
Yes.
I hope that's making sense.
That makes perfect sense. Not only does that make sense, Robin, that's exactly what I said to Lucas and Chuck while we were watching the game earlier. I think it's a lot of people projecting the record thing, because it does. I do think it means more to us than it does to him or to the team. But I think your theory is good, Robin. I don't think it's a hot take at all. And I'm a little disappointed. I hadn't thought about that. Now, I don't know if Steph Curry is dramatically giving more effort on defense. He's better on defense. The effort has been there the last few years, but it could be up a little this year. It's definitely the best defensive season we've seen from him, right? So if we take that, you know, however he's doing it, focus, energy, effort, concentration, whatever the thing is, I think it's totally reasonable to consider whether his defense is taken away from his offense a little bit.
But when he was supposed to be fresh to start the games, that's when he's gotten off to the coldest starts, and that's the only reason I don't agree with that theory, because it's the old saying in basketball, you run the sprints, and that's when you shoot the free throws, because the legs are tired, you're tired. Mentally, you got to be tough to sink those shots. So it makes sense. I like the theory a lot, but I mean, if you look at the last few games, Steph's been kind of picking it up as he's gone and gotten more tired. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the other trick there is if I just pick the stretch from game 2 of the season to game 15 of the season, he was 30 a night, 48 from the field, 42.5 from 3, right? So, I mean, I do think this is just a slump, but is it insane to think that perhaps contributing to that slump is a more intense and focused defensive effort on a night-to-night basis? I don't know. I don't think that's crazy. I think it's certainly something to consider. We've spent so much time talking about his defense, you know, and it has been better. So why not? Why couldn't that be a factor? I think, here's what I guess I would say more than anything, is I'm with Robin that I think that is easily as much a factor as the record. I just don't. Look, the thing is, you don't become Steph Curry and get to this record-making point in half the time it took the other guys if you're worried about stuff like that. Now, is it in his mind a little bit? Is it something that maybe, you know, a split second of hesitation on something? I guess it can have those little effects. But in terms of, oh, he's really pressing for that record. He's shooting shots he doesn't normally shoot. He looks unsettled. I just don't see that. I don't really see it. I think it's your standard yearly Stephen Curry slump. I'm going to try to find another Stephen Curry slump or two from years past and see if I can match him up. In the meantime, weigh in if you want to. 888-957-9570 is our phone number. You can call or text us at that number. I want to talk about Jonathan Kuminga at some point today. I definitely want to talk about Miles Turner because, you know, just last week we heard he might be on the trade block and we considered whether the Warriors ought to have interest in that. That plus we have Steve Kerr's press conference. Lots of good sound from him. All of that coming up right after the break. I'm Matt Kolsky. This is Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Payton now guarding LeVert, top of the key, puts it on the deck, lost the handle, falls down, falls out of bounds. It's going to be Warriors ball. Gary Payton locked him up with 2.2 to go. Curry to come back in.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Kolsky.
We are back on Warriors Wrap Up. That was the last play of the game, effectively. Although, not really. The last play of the game was a Warriors turnover. Draymond with the turnover for the win, as it may have been called. But the last Pacers possession, they passed it around until they got it to Caris LeVert, who was one-on-one with Gary Payton the second, and he tried to take him off the dribble?
It's definitely no for me, dog.
No, don't do that. You'll end up falling on your face and turning the ball over. I know there were switches on that play, but you can't end up with a sub-all-star trying to take Gary Payton the second off the dribble for in a game-deciding situation. That was a disaster for the Pacers. There's got to be a better solution than that. 510 texter responding to Robin's theory. Robin called us last segment and suggested maybe, you know, Steph's putting a lot of effort onto defense. Maybe that is contributing to his struggles shooting the ball. 510 texter says, this theory is not worthy of a talk, which is a funny sentence just on its own. Not worthy of a talk. When you guys brought this up before the Clipper game, he went off. He's being mauled nightly. I wasn't here for that. Robin said JD. She must have talked to JD about it. I've never heard that theory before. So you may be right that perhaps they talked about it before the Clippers game, and he did go off in the Clippers game. 33 points, 12 of 22 from the field, 7 of 13 from three. Since then, though, he's been bad. So I like Steph Curry is Steph Curry. Of course he's going to have huge games. And of course they're mauling him off the ball. But that's all normal. The slump is the weird part. And again, I tend to think it's just a slump. He has slumps. Slumps happen. Most people have slumps. It's just Steph Curry's so good, it seems weird when it happens to him. That's all. Slumps are normal. On the other hand, a lot of the team seems to think it has to do with the record. So, I don't know, maybe I'm the idiot. 888-957-9570. Am I the idiot? Jack and Marin reaching out to talk about Steph's slump. What's up, Jack?
Hey, what's up, Kolsky? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, so obviously Curry's in a slump. I think this one seems a little more unusual than normal, but I had a question for you. And look, I'm the biggest Curry fan there is. I love him as much as the next guy, and I'm by no means questioning his abilities. But tonight when he went for the go-ahead three that also would have tied the record and it missed, it got me kind of thinking. It seems like in the past, I don't know, season and before that, there's been a lot of times where he's had the opportunity to make a go-ahead three or a tying three or one of those big buzzer-beater shots to win the game, and it seems like they aren't falling like they used to. It's been a while since we've seen one of those big Curry buzzer-beater game winners, and I'm just wondering if you've noticed kind of he's missing those more often than he used to also, or if I'm just crazy.
Yeah, I think it's probably in your head. I mean, I don't have the stats for that in front of me. The reality of game winners, you know, late game shots, is they happen so infrequently that one or two tend to stick in our heads, and then that's the picture we get of a guy. My guess would be it stayed pretty steady with how he does in late game situations. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure about that. Like I said, I don't have the stats in front of me. It's possible he's hitting those less. This year's team has not had a lot of close games. So there haven't been a lot of opportunities, really, for that kind of late-game shooting, I guess. I was just for fun trying to find some slumps, find some Steph slumps in the past. It's, you know, it depends. But just going to last year, which, you know, MVP-level caliber season for Steph Curry, tremendous all year long. Stretch from February 17th to March 11th, he played in 8 games, missed a couple. 8 games played, shot just under 40% from the field and just over 30% from 3. So way, way, way down in both. That's last year. There's a stretch from, a week and a half or so in early November of the 17-18 season, where he shot 33% from the field and 27% from 3. You know, those were just what I could find while somebody on the phone was talking. But my point is he tends to go through a 4-10 game slump period most years. Because as much as we talk about his, superhuman abilities, he is in fact a human being. Not a normal human being, but a human being nonetheless. Sometimes it just doesn't go in for a little while. And I don't actually know if there's anything to make of it. I mean, it's natural because we're in this situation with the record to consider, well, maybe it has to do with the record. I think it's a natural, it makes sense to want to do that. But I don't know that there's any reason to link the two. I think it's entirely possible that Steph Curry just has a rough stretch. For a period of time, most seasons, Steph Curry has a rough stretch. But while I was just describing that, I found another 12-game stretch from the 16-17 season. Under 20 points a game, 40% from the field, 34 from 3. Again, I think this is just what happens. My instinct is tomorrow, those first two threes, which tie and break the record, snap him out of the slump, and then everyone decides it definitely was the record. He's out of the slump, see? And I think everyone will make that decision and just be wrong. And that's okay. We can all just be wrong about it. But I don't know, man. I find it hard to believe the record is having that big of an effect. And yet, again, maybe I'm the idiot because ask Steve Kerr what he thinks, and he doesn't agree with me.
I think he's been trying a little bit too hard in the last few games, you know, just trying to make threes and get to this record. It'll be a relief for him, I think, and for our team when he does break it. But I just think he's been trying a little bit too hard. And a lot of them have been coming, you know, out of blitzes. He's coming off pick and roll and just needs to make the simple pass. He knows that, but he's kind of trying too hard.
Yeah, maybe. Then again, he takes some of those threes anyway. Getting blitzed out of the pick and roll, still shoots sometimes. It doesn't have to be going for a record to take that jumper. So I don't know. I mean, I guess if the team is saying it, I'd like to hear if Curry has said anything about it. Have they asked Steph if he feels like he's pressing? See if we can't get some Steph audio. Love to hear your thoughts on it as well. 888-957-9570. Got another 15, 20 minutes of Warrior wrap-up before we move on to other topics. Nick in Ohio giving us a call. It's a long way. Did Charlie put you up to this? Charlie, do you know Nick in Ohio? Is there an Ohio connection here, Charlie?
No, he's from Springfield. No connection with Nick. It is past his bedtime, though. It's awfully late there.
Did you guys have a nice chat about Ohio while you were screening the call?
We did. I think he's a big Skyline fan.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. All right. Well, we're not going to talk about Skyline Chili, Nick, but you're allowed to talk about Steph Curry for sure. What's going on?
Okay, great. I'd feel like he has been pressing. It seems obvious, you know, and I just, with the close-ups on TV, you can see kind of dark circles under his eyes. I think he's probably a combination of burnout on this. I know it's not the level of Hank Aaron, Roger Maris going for Babe Ruth, but there's a lot of pressure, especially with all the media attention. And I also think about he may overextend himself because he's with all the commercials, the branding, the charitable work he does, his family, what's going on with mom and dad.
Has any of that changed, Nick? I mean, I guess his mom and dad weren't getting a divorce last year or the year before, but, you know, he's 30-something. I think he can probably handle that. Like, he's always been a family guy. He's always been a charity guy. He's always had, for years and years, he's had ads and all this stuff. That's what it's always been. And I guess that's why I understand people attributing it to the record, because that is the difference. The difference is the record. Except that maybe there's no difference, because again, we get this sort of slump from Steph just about every year. Thanks for the call, Nick. There's no way to answer this, right? I mean, I guess if Steph Curry said, yeah, man, I'm pressing, then I'd have to take his word for it. But unless he says that, I mean, we're all just speculating about another man's state of mind. And, you know, whatever you want to say about the shooting performance, about pressing or whatever, 8-for-20 from the field, Steph was a game high plus 17 in the plus minus. And Steve Kerr talked about that as well.
So it's funny. You know, he's plus 17 on a night when didn't shoot it that well, had 7 turnovers. You know, not a great game for him, but he's the high plus-minus person in the game. It's who Steph is. He impacts the game so profoundly just with his presence, and then he always finds a way to get going when he needs to. And so obviously some huge shots late.
There's never going to be a stat for it, because I'm not sure anyone's ever done it the way Steph has. But the play where, it's not even a play, the action that the Warriors like to run, where someone basically just runs past Steph Curry, and then whoever that is, their man, usually stops to make sure Steph Curry's not about to embarrass them. How many open layups have the Warriors had off of just that action? That's why he's plus 17 when he turns it over 7 times and doesn't shoot it that great. Because despite all that stuff, he's constantly getting easy buckets for his teammates. We should have somebody. In fact, I would bet the Warriors internally do have somebody calculating just how many wide open layups Steph Curry generates just by existing. And on a night like tonight, it doesn't matter that he's not shooting well, because everyone's afraid that, by God, if you'd let him hit one, then maybe all of a sudden the game's over because he just hit 7. And that's the magic of Steph Curry. We can have the arguments about who's a better scorer between Curry and Durant, but I've just never seen defenses handle Durant like that. Just never. They never did Michael Jordan like... I never saw the Bulls run action just to rub a guy past Michael because his defender would stop paying attention. As much attention as Michael garnered, like, if Scotty was running past him, Scotty's defender stayed on Scotty. But not here. And it really doesn't matter who the other guy is. Wiggins, Green, Poole, Looney over and over again tonight. If you run past Steph Curry, your defender's going to be distracted. It's like nothing I've ever seen. And that, more than anything, that gravity, that attention he demands, allows him to be plus 17 on a night where he doesn't play great. And just in general, for the team to gut it out on a night where, you know, other than Looney and Draymond, nobody played that great.
I thought it was a gutty performance on a night when he struggled for much of the game. Some unforced turnovers. We fouled way too much, but we hung in there. And it felt like we led that game for maybe 2 minutes at the most, 48. So we were fortunate to get out with the win, but we earned it too. We hung in there. We defended like crazy. We held him to 16 in the fourth quarter. So it's a great win.
The one guy who I really thought got after it from the beginning tonight was Draymond. That's obviously something that head coach notices when it happens. And tonight in particular, aggressive attacking the basket. And look, 7 for 10, 15 points, all that stuff is great. But more than anything, it's just the attacks. Like, he could go 5 for 10, and it probably is just as effective in a way.
We're always a better team when Draymond looks to attack and score. He took 10 shots tonight. He just had a brilliant game at both ends. So it's a great effort by him. He got into the foul trouble, and we were able to hang in there while he was on the bench resting. And that was a big stretch of the game. And then he came in and closed, you know, the last night of 10.
Someone's got to stop tapping their keyboard while head coach is in the middle of talking. You know what I mean? Stop hitting the space bar while Steve's in the middle of a sentence. But no, the style of Draymond. This was one of those games, you could see it when he got the tech, where he walked in pissed off for greatness. He was ready to go at the tip tonight. And I am not maybe as impressed as everyone else with Draymond's consistency in that department this year. He's having a really good year, better than last year. But I still think there are some nights where he doesn't look like that at the beginning. And it makes just a world of difference. Also, someone on the text line pointing out, and I think it's true, it's nice to see Draymond actually finish some of those layups this season. Like, here it is from the 707. Great to see Draymond making the driving layups. Seen a lot of those kick off the rim the last couple of years. That's true. It's something that was a clear dip in his game, because I remember talking about how good Draymond was at, you know, having soft touch on layups where he's driving really hard to the rim, you know, crashing to the rim, but finding the touch to finish a layup and not bang it off the backboard. I just love watching Draymond when he's like this. I just love it. 510 text says Curry was 26-6-6 tonight, and somehow that's bad. It's below his standard when it's done with 7 turnovers and poor efficiency shooting. Yeah, like I can't. You're a Warriors fan. You're supposed to be better than this. You got to look deeper than 26-6-6. The 7 turnovers matter. The mediocre shooting night matters. Would most guys like a night like that? Yes, but Stephen Curry is Stephen Curry. We have to hold him to a Stephen Curry standard. He didn't kill you. In fact, he helped you win. He was plus 17, but it wasn't his best night. Ask the coach, for God's sakes. One last phone call here. Filmo Mike, what is happening, Filmo?
Hey, what's good, Coach G? I was just saying, man, we got a good win. We pulled it out. We showed heart, grit. I love it. I do think Curry is pressing. think he pressing a little bit. The thing that had me thinking he pressing a little bit, he don't normally miss wide open back-to-back three-pointers. So, like, he's missed a couple of, like, wide open back-to-back three-pointers. I was like, he don't normally miss. So, I think he pressing a little. Last thing is, I don't know if you heard, and this ain't nothing about you, but I don't know if you heard that interview with Monte Ellis with Gulo and Steiny.
Yeah.
That was a great interview.
It was great.
I know you be sharing stuff from what people played and stuff, but
yeah.
I just thought it was a great interview. I was glad to see Monte Ellis. He finally could talk a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? He's matured up.
Uh-huh.
Like that. You have a great show, Kofi.
Thank you, Philmo. Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. We replayed that Monte last week because of how good it was. It was a long conversation, too. And Monte, in his time as a Warrior, was not known for having long conversations. And as Mike said, I think he's matured. He's a better talker than he was. He's better at explaining himself. I thought he's also a guy who's clearly thought a lot about his own career and the NBA in general. A lot of interesting stuff from Monte. If you haven't heard that, I recommend. Get on the Odyssey app. Go back and find it with Steiny and Guru last week. Really, really good stuff from Monte. It's probably Steiny, you know. It's probably Steiny's great basketball relationships. The guys respect that. It's because Steiny had game back in the day. I don't know if people know that.
Huh?
Thank you. I was hoping we'd get something. Before we finish Warriors, before we wrap up Warriors wrap up, if you will, thank you. I will be here all week. That's not true. I'll only be here till Wednesday. I do want to talk about Jonathan Kuminga. It's always interesting when you look at the box score after a game like that, and, you know, Draymond played great, but he's -4. Steph didn't play great, but he's +17. Sometimes plus minus is confusing. One place it's not is on Kuminga tonight. He only played 6 minutes, but he was +11. And to watch his 6 minutes, it felt like he was +11. He changed the entire energy of the game when he came in. He attacked the basket a couple times. He played some good defense against Sabonis. And I just think they're going to have to find more minutes for him as time goes on. I don't know who those come away from, Timian Lee. But someone's going to have to sit down so Kuminga can get in there. Steve Kerr feeling good about the rookie tonight as well.
We needed the energy, needed his strength and defense and speed. And he came in and changed the game for us. I thought he was fantastic. Second half, we thought about it, but we wanted to give the other guys a look, you know, and see if we could continue with the way we've done, you know, getting to this point at 21-5. Decided not to go back to him, but he was brilliant.
I think that's going to change as time goes on. I mean, I think if I'm going to read between the lines a little bit there on Steve, I think what he's saying is, like, I don't fully trust the rookie yet. We're going to give him opportunities here and there, but in a close game in the second half when it matters, I trust other guys more. But I'll tell you what, Damian Lee did nothing for you tonight. And I, you know, credit to Damian. This is not to diss him. But he is one of the guys that's going to slip out of the rotation as Clay comes back, as Kuminga and Moody hopefully start to get more time. And that's okay. He'll still be ready when they call on him. He's a solid, deep bench player. But Kuminga can bring a level of energy and intensity and excitement that, you know, no one else besides maybe Steph can bring on this team. Here's Draymond Green on Jonathan Kuminga.
In order for us to go far, he's going to have to play a part in it. He just has some things. None of us other guys bring some of the things, the tools that he has as a basketball player, as far as his quickness and speed, his athleticism, his strength, and youth. You know, the majority of us don't have that. So I think he's going to be important for us, and tonight was big. I'm not sure how many minutes he played, but he worked his minute, and 6 minutes, plus 11. He worked his minute. That's all you can ask for. Work your minute, and then hopefully they'll grow.
That's it. And so far, you know, the occasional bad three-pointer aside, Jonathan Kuminga has worked his minutes. He's made his impact felt. He's played consistently hard on the defensive end in particular, and more often than not, when he gets the ball on offense, he either moves it along or he attacks the rim, and that's what you want from him. Really good early returns on a guy that a lot of people did not think would be able to help you this year. I remind you at this time that I did tell you he would help you this year. Just listen. Every now and then I say something that makes sense. Charlie, you look like you're going to disagree with that.
No, I love him. I don't know what's keeping him off the floor right now, because when you look at an NBA rookie, it comes down to three things for me. Does he have the NBA physicality, the NBA body? Those are one in hand. The NBA motor and the NBA brain. Tell me which of those three he doesn't have right now to give you solid minutes.
Yeah, well, to give you solid minutes, he's got all of that. To be fully trustworthy as a consistent role player, it's the brain. We got to work on the brain. But that's normal. He's 19 and like just 19. He's 19 in a month, in 2 months.
It's all right, though. It could be a lot worse.
Oh, yeah. I'm the guy who told everybody, like, all these concerns about his IQ and, you know, how raw he is. People didn't watch him. And I was right. But he's still got a ways to go in terms of thinking the game and being where he's supposed to be all the time. The thing that I think has surprised me the most in a positive direction is just how ready he is defensively. And that, I think, reflects, to your point, a level of thinking the game that's higher than even maybe I thought. Like, he's pretty close to ready. And like, look, I already said it, so maybe I shouldn't have disagreed with you at all. If he plays Damian Lee's minutes tonight, I think it's a 10-point win. So maybe he should be playing 20 minutes a night right now. Remember, of course, and I think this is in Steve Kerr's mind, this all gets more complicated with Clay. So I do think that most nights Steve Kerr is earmarking 20 minutes that would be Clay's minutes, if that makes sense. And tonight I think those are probably Damian Lee's minutes. It's going to be really interesting over the next couple weeks as they work this thing out. Of course, back in action tomorrow at Madison Square Garden, where Stephen Curry will become the all-time three-point shot made leader.
Come on, knock on some wood.
No, I can't jinx this. It's unjinxable. You heard it here first.
Don't say that.
I just, please let the plane land safely, okay? That's all. Other than that, if they arrive in New York, Steph Curry will break the record. How's that? Barring a, you know, Chicago Bulls-style COVID breakout that cancels all Knicks basketball. Quietly, the NBA is having a bit of a COVID problem, but we're going to ignore that until it becomes a bigger COVID problem, if that's okay with everybody. I really don't want to talk about it. I do want to talk about some Niner football. Big win yesterday. Big overtime win. And producer Chuck's a Bengals fan. We're going to laugh in his face. I can't wait. Kolsky and Company is coming up next. That's all for Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.